The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
This is Vince Russo's The Brand.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to 8 Days a Week. This is the review show of everything happening on russosbrand.com. A little highlight of some of the shows that you can listen to there. Raw SmackDown review with Ben Hameen, Stevie Richards. Castrating the Marks with Jeff Lane. Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco with the Disco Inferno. The franchise show, Shane Douglas, and many, many, many other shows that's on Russo's brand for less than $1 a week. No long-term commitment. You get a little taste of some of the shows here. Then you can go over to russosbrand.com and you can sign up. Jeff, what's going on today?
Not too much, man. And it's real easy and it's real inexpensive. All you got to do is go to russosbrand.com right at the top, subscribe to the Realm Network. There's zero long-term commitment, so you can opt out at any time, and it comes out to less than $1 a week. For all these shows, we're going to show you in video and audio, plus Goldilocks, Veto. I mean, the list goes on and on. All these shows, less than $1 a week, $3.95 a month. You can opt out at any time. Video and audio. Realm Network gives you your own private RSS feed if you want to pop into your favorite podcast app and listen on the go. So check us out there. russosbrand.com, and of course this show. Not only do we go over clips of some of our shows from the week, but we discuss new and fresh content always right at the beginning, and we do it live on Twitch as well. We record this every Monday morning around 10 Eastern at twitch.tv/VinceRussoLive, so you can join us and be a part of the show every Monday.
And Jeff, also we are on Patreon, patreon.com/RussoTWC, with a menu of other shows. As a matter of fact, bro, on March 1st, we are going to be adding a new show to both networks, bro. We're going to be adding a new show to the Realm Network, and we're going to be adding a new show to the patreon.com/RussoTWC. I will be announcing what those shows are going to be shortly. I am still kicking some things around, bro. But you're going to get a brand new show on Realm and a brand new show on Patreon starting March 1st.
And we got DJ Mad Dog with 20 bits and Broadcaster with 275 bits. And, of course, adding these new shows, the Realm Network, less than $1 a week. Get another show. Patreon, I believe. It'll be the $5 tier and up. We'll be getting this new show. Of course, up tiers above that, we'll be getting it in video and such, just like Vic Venom. There's so much content, guys. Check if you're thirsty for more brand content, there's plenty out there at both places.
And Jeff, at what Patreon level today are we going to be talking about that official WWE memo that I said I got a hold of and that I was going to talk about? Today is the day. We are doing an exclusive show on Patreon. What tier will be able to hear about this inter-office memo?
This will be bonus show number 2 of the month, which goes to our Super Bros and up. So if you are a Super Bro and up, you will be getting that.
So you will hear the exclusive on this WWE memo that I was able to get my hands on that I think will blow your socks away. But I got a couple things I want to talk about. First of all, I watched the XFL this weekend, bro. I did. I watched a lot of the games yesterday. There were 2 games on yesterday. The New York team was on. I watched a lot of the XFL yesterday. Bro, here's what I don't get. Like, for most of the plays, bro, they have a split screen. And they have on one half of the screen, they've got, you know, the live feed of the game. On the other half of the screen, they've got like the offensive coordinators and the defensive coordinators calling the plays that are going, you know, in the helmets of, you know, the quarterback and, you know, the rest of the team. So you see them playing, you see them calling the play.
And can you hear them?
Yeah, you see them and hear them calling the play. And then you see, you know, you see the quarterback listening to the play, and then he'll, you know, tell the team what the play is. And I'm watching this. I'm like, wait a minute, isn't the other team watching this?
You would look at the Astros. You don't even need to bang trash cans to get these plays.
I don't understand. Like, hold on a second. Doesn't the other team have somebody watching the game and knowing what the play call is?
Unless it is on a delay, like a 20-second delay or something, because they had said, someone said in this Astros investigation, they've been doing that with baseball where the feed is not live. It's like 10 or 15 seconds behind. So if they're stealing the signs, they can't get it to them in time before the pitch.
Yeah, but bro, the announces, like after they lay the play down, I mean, even like the announces are going back over what the play was and what the play meant. And I'm like, well, this is, God, you know, I got to tell you something, bro. With me, there are some things in sports that I like to be sacred. Okay. Like, bro, I don't like interviewing a player during a game. I don't like talking to a manager during a game. I never liked any of that shit. Let them play the freaking game. And, you know, they do that a lot in baseball, bro. During the game, they'll go to both managers. I don't like that, bro. We'll talk about the game after the game. Let's keep the game sacred. But there was a lot of that going on, which made me scratch my head. And, bro, I swear to God, another thing that, like, I just saw over and over and over were just, like, these little swing passes to the outside for, you know, no gain or 3 yards or 5 yards. I felt like I saw that play over and over and over and over again, bro. I don't know, man. I watched NFL this season. I watched XFL. I watched a lot of both games that were on yesterday. And I mean, not for anything, bro. I can see a huge difference in the play.
Well, I wonder if that's why they're doing these other things, listening to them doing the play calls and interviewing them during the game, because I mean, it didn't work the first time, but you know, the first time they tried to sell it on the gimmicks, when you're getting, you know, essentially minor league players, because this is the next tier down from the NFL, you might not just hook the people on the play. You got to give them other things. So maybe they're thinking, well, people will watch this because they're hearing the people call the plays or whatever they're doing. The presentation's different. They're trying to hook people in with that stuff instead of the players. I don't know. To me, it's kind of like, I don't want to know what play is coming. Isn't that part of watching the game to see what they do?
I don't want to know. Bro, it's like wrestling with kayfabe, man. It's like, I don't want to know what play is coming. Like, I don't know, bro. Listen, I don't know where this XFL is going. I mean, I really don't. You would have to think, you know, Vince learned from mistakes the first time around, and he knew the second time it was going to be different and where mistakes were made and whatnot. But, you know, like I said, bro, I tried it out. I watched it. You know, I mean, God, bro, once baseball season starts, I'm not going to give a shit about the XFL. I don't know when the season's over. But I don't know, bro. I just think some things should stay sacred with the game. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't want to see some of those things.
Yeah, the big thing that they need to do is they need to get people to be fans of a team. That's what keeps you there. If you are a fan of the team, you care if they win and you want to watch it. I don't think people are going to be just fans of the league. You know, think everybody here, we all got our favorite football team, right? Every week we care about our team. We want them to win every single season. If you don't have that with the XFL, that's one of the main draws to watching sports. So to get people to care about this league, somehow they got to get them to like be hardcore diehard fans of their local team. And I don't know if that's possible with, you know, the players.
Well, bro, have. I do have to say this. The people that showed up seemed into it. I mean, the New York fans were definitely into it. They played the game at the Meadowlands. I mean, they were into it. You know, I don't know how long that lasts, though. You know what I mean? I don't know how long that's going to last.
Yeah, Troy with 100 bits. But like, I did see a lot of positive.
Yeah, like the Dallas team, bro, the Texas team, they play at the old Rangers ballpark, And this Texas team is supposed to be the team that's supposed to win it all and everything. Well, they lost their first game yesterday. And, bro, in the first game, the fans were booing them out of the building. First game. So I'm like, God, I don't know how long this is going to last.
But I did see a lot of positive feedback. But, I was wondering, is that just overreaction for day one that we get with everything? Or, you know, was it really that good of a product? I guess
it was watchable. I mean, there's no question about that. I'm not saying it was horror. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just saying personally, like, what some of the things are that I didn't like.
Broadcaster with 300 bits, Troy with 100 bits. Did the three-point play come into play at all? Did anybody go for that?
Bro, like, everything was the one-point play. Everything. Everything seemed like the one-point play, bro.
Yeah, I flipped through real quick, and I saw one team go for two, and they got sacked. I think, what was that, from the three-yard line? They go for two or whatever?
Yeah. SQ World, it averaged 4 million viewers was the high mark. It averaged 3.3 million viewers, but I think, like, when the original XFL premiered, like, bro, it had like 6.9 million views or something like that. But you got to remember, wrestling was red hot at the time. So I think it averaged like 3.3 million viewers. So, you know, the key is seeing where it goes from there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think the first one even had more than that. I think it was like 10 million or something.
Yeah. I read it yesterday, but I didn't write it down. Bro, here's another thing I want to talk about. I want to talk about a couple of things. Here's another thing I want to talk about. Bro, I keep getting Jim Cornette's podcast feeds on my YouTube. And, you know, morbid curiosity, I listen to some of them. Bro, he had this guy call in yesterday, or this guy write an email yesterday. Here's the first thing the guy said. Oh, I can't understand why nobody has ever brought this up before. Bro, this was a very intelligent guy. Cornette read the guy's entire email. Bro, this guy is kind of like an authority on the spectrum and autism. And he's known a lot of people with autism. He's been around a lot of people with autism. And, bro, this guy said, I don't know why anybody hasn't brought this up before, but Dave Meltzer is autistic. That's the issue. That's why nobody can understand the things that he does, because autism is playing a big part of, you know, who Dave Meltzer is. And I'm like, wait a minute, nobody said that? Bro, I've been saying that for the last freaking year. That's why you can't logically explain, you know, how could a guy love wrestling in its heyday, bro, in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s? How could a guy love that and also love today's style and put over today's style, which is totally different? It doesn't make any sense. And this guy broke it down, bro, like broke down every detail in this.
He's an expert.
Bro, he knew a hell of a lot about autism. He says his wife, he's been married for 20 years. His wife's got that. What is it? Aspringers or asparagus? Asparagus, whatever the case may be. This guy knew what he was talking about. And I was like, bro, I've been saying that forever, because we sit here and we try to be logical. We try to be freaking logical with Meltzer, and there's no logic. There's zero lie. He talked about, you know, Meltzer attacking everybody that says anything on social media, even if people are nice and pleasant and have a valid point to make. I mean, he really broke the whole thing down, and it was really, really fascinating.
Troy with 50 bits. Virtue says he works with autistic math students, and he said above that he had thought that as well.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, bro, here's another thing I want to talk about, because this may be the most bizarrest thing. Is bizarrest the word?
Bizarre. Bizarre.
I just said bizarrest.
Okay.
This is the most bizarrest thing I may have ever read. And I want to really examine this and break this down to kind of demonstrate like how effing whacked things are. Okay, bro. There was an article yesterday, I saw it last night on Wrestling Inc. about TNA possibly reaching out to Vince Russo and Dixie Carter. Okay, can you pull that up, Jeff?
I can, broadcaster with.
I want to rip apart the doofus who wrote this article, because this is the most bizarrest comment I think I've ever read anywhere, bro. This is well, so, you got it?
Yeah, but is it his comment or him giving Meltzer's comment? Because he got this from Meltzer.
No, well, he wrote it, so I'm holding him responsible. What's his name?
Mark Middleton, and this is a report he says from the Wrestling Observer newsletter.
Okay, yeah, Mark Middleton. Well, the name speaks for itself. Bro, read the part about me, because I want to break down, like, how effing bizarre this is. I mean, when you really think about it, guys, like, this could be written about anyone else. It's not because it's about me, but I want you to really think about how bizarre this is. What does it say about me, bro?
Virtue 25 bits. Yeah, this is definitely coming from Meltzer. This is not this guy's.
Okay, but this guy's reporting on it. So
regarding Russo, there seems to be the idea that if they do bring him in, it would stir up so much negativity that it would actually help the business of the show, because people would be more aware of the date and time of the event.
Guys, think about this for a second. If they bring in the guy that brought them 2 million viewers, okay, bro, if they bring in the guy that brought TNA Wrestling 2 million viewers at one point, what's it gonna drum up, Jeff?
It would stir up so much negativity.
Guys, do you hear that? If we bring in the guy that brought this product 2 million people, it can stir up so much negativity. Bro, like, guys, do you hear how freaking asinine that is?
Especially with the people running Impact now.
That's like saying, bro, when Jimmy Kimmel was thinking of producing a new version of All in the Family, and somebody said, well, if they brought Norman Lear into the project, it might stir up so much negativity. Do you, like, I can't even put into words how asinine that comment is, bro.
I mean, unless they're totally wording what you've been saying for years the wrong way, that it would stir up controversy with the Marks. You know, that they would want to see it so much because they don't like Russo, you know?
Negativity. Bro.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's totally wrong. Controversy, I think, would be the word that they were looking for. Meltzer may have said negativity. I don't know. This is this guy transcribing Meltzer. So,
bro,
without.
What is wrong with these freaking people? Not that I'm vying to be on that show, because, like, quite frankly, I don't give a rat's ass. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, bro, Impact Wrestling does a fraction of that. And we're gonna bring back for one night the guy that once brought TNA 2 million viewers, and that's negative? I swear
to these people, Russo,
are so out of whack.
It's Russo derangement syndrome. That's what it is.
Oh my God, bro. Unfreaking believable, man.
Why are you reading the comments on there and selling them?
I don't know.
You got to stop with that. Quit putting these idiots over.
Why not, bro? Well, I got to be honest with you. You want to really know why I read the comment and put it over?
Yeah.
Because I knew if I put that one comment over, I knew I was feeding that guy to the brand sharks. So I was like, you know what, bro? For a comment like that, this guy deserves to get about a million messages from the brand. That's really why I did it. I very rarely did that. I wasn't putting it over. But for that comment, I was like, you know what, bro? I think I'm going to throw this guy in the brand shark tank and now let him have to deal with 10,000 messages based off of his comment. That's why I did it, to be honest with you.
Broadcaster for 250 bits. You know, just reading this again, it's the Russo derangement syndrome, because you're not the only one that's mentioned in here. Mike Today's mentioned. Dixie Carter's mentioned. We've seen the people that they've already announced or been talking to. But you're the only one that would be, about negativity. Like, what's the difference between bringing you or Dixie Carter in? She owned the company, right? You wrote the company. I mean, you wrote the program. But like, why are you negative and Dixie's not negative, or anybody else that they're bringing in? Disco's not negative. It's that Russo derangement syndrome.
And what is Meltzer actually? Should I just start referring to him as Rain Man?
I like Magoo better. Okay. I mean,
what does Meltzer like actually think? If he puts that out there, then they're not going to bring me in, and like, I care. Like seriously, like is that what he thinks? Oh, bro, I'll put this seedling in their head, and then they won't bring Russo in. Like one way or another, I'm gonna care.
He should know that that wouldn't work with what Impact's been doing. I mean, you look what they did with Tessa. You look what they do with Rob Van Dam. They don't care what people say online. They're gonna do what they think is best for the show. So he should know that that wouldn't work.
Yeah. And bro, here's another thing I'm a little pissed off about. And this is why I think I'm going to do I'm thinking of bringing back a bucket full of chicken next, Jeff, because there's too many things going by on a daily basis that piss me off and I don't get to talk about. Okay. And bro, here we go with homophobe, racist,
sexist,
anti-Semite. Here we go with all that stuff. I'm watching the Academy Awards last night. Bro, I'm sorry. I don't care what country the film is made in. I don't care if it's made by Japanese. I don't care if it's made by Russian-speaking people. I don't care if it's made by German-speaking people. I don't care if it's made by Mexican-speaking people. I don't care if it's made by, give me another language out there, French speaking people. I don't care. Well, if
Mexican isn't a language. That'd be Spanish.
Spanish speaking people, Mexican, Russian, German, French. What other languages are there? Bulgarian, Japanese. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Bro, a movie in another language with subtitles winning the Academy Award. Like, bro, I don't care how good it is. First of all, how good can an effing movie be if I got to sit there and read the movie for 2 hours? Okay. And I don't care. This got nothing to do with it being Japanese, Chinese, Korean. This, I don't care where it's from. The movie's got freaking subtitles. I got to sit there and read for 2 hours, and you're going to tell me the Joker wasn't better than this movie? You're going to tell me, bro, you're going to tell me Once Upon a Time in Hollywood wasn't better than in this movie? Kevin Calls Pizza says The Artist won, and it was a silent film. Well, bro, better a silent film than a film that I got to sit there and read for 2 freaking hours?
There's one film that I really like, and it's subtitled Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. I tried watching it with the English dub, and it's awful. So I really like the movie, and I'd rather read it because it sounds more natural. The voiceovers that not matching their lips look stupid. But there is one movie.
Is there a foreign film award? I thought there was an Academy Award for the best foreign film. This is a foreign film. They got it. They already got a category for that. This is a foreign film.
I think there is a best foreign film, yeah. I mean, they don't really specify best American film, though, do they? I mean, British ones that are eligible, and just because they're in English, I don't think people would say anything. I think it's just the language barrier that – But yeah, there is a best foreign film. I'm pretty sure you're right. Well,
I don't know, bro. Listen, I'm not gonna. I don't care what the movie is, bro. I'm not gonna sit there and read a movie for freaking 2 hours. There already is a best foreign film category. This is a foreign film. It's a foreign film, bro. If it's in another language and you're reading subtitles, it's a foreign film. They already got a category for that. God, bro. Like, I think I've seen everything now, for crying out loud.
Virtue with 25 bits. Yeah, I don't care about these stupid awards anymore. Who cares?
And here, let me tell No DQ something. No DQ, I am a Judy Garland fan. Everybody, I'm a Liza Minnelli mark. I know a lot about the history of Liza, and I know a lot about the history of Judy. Trust me. Let me tell you a couple things. Judy was not that good. It was not that good, bro. Judy was a period of Judy Garland's life that the movie did not, did not cover her entire life. Little bits and pieces of when she was whatchamacallit, bro. We're off to see the Wizard. Wizard of Oz, bro, where, you know, there was like some kind of child mental abuse, bro. They only touched upon that. We only learned about some of her later years, when she was on the tail end of her career. And I'm going to be honest with you. Renee Zellweger, I did not think was that good. And here's why I did not think she was that good, bro. When you watch the film and she covers the Judy Garland songs, she goes in and out of Judy Garland and Renee Zellweger. Go watch the film again, bro. She's singing like Judy. Then all of a sudden she's singing like Renee. Then she's singing back to Judy. Then she's going back to Renee. I didn't think it was that good. And I wanted to like the movie. I'm a Judy Garland fan. These biopics, they don't live up to the hype. The Judy movie was not good. Rocket Man was not good. I did not think Bohemian Rhapsody was any good, bro. They don't live up to the hype. And again, bro, these actors, like, you know, with their political comments, Brad Pitt, who I'm glad he won the Academy Award. I thought he was awesome in that movie. Bro, we don't care about your political funnies. The speech I liked, like, the best was Joaquin Phoenix, bro. Joaquin Phoenix. Like, can we not get along? Can we not like each other? Can we not put each other over? Can we not all work towards a common goal? That's what Joaquin Phoenix had to say.
It's a good message.
Yeah. And I don't know, bro. I saw The Joker. I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I did not see Parasite. I'm not going to sit there and read a movie for 2 hours. So I'll never be able to tell you if that was as good as the other movies, though.
Troy with 50 bits.
Yeah.
Ready to get into the shows?
Yeah.
All right. Well, on the brand this week, we opened up with Castrating the Marks. And in this clip, we're discussing this website writer, one of the dirt sheets that does statistical analysis and graphs on offense in a wrestling match. This is an article that's on SE Scoops, and there's actually like 5 or 6 of these things. And you want to talk about people taking wrestling as real. This is a statistical analysis of Pac versus John Moxley on the AEW Jericho Cruise. This guy has kept track of how many strikes they had, knockdowns, grapples, dives, submission seconds, reversals, pin attempts, fouls, taunts, finishers. The match, if you were wondering, match offense. Pac was on the offense for 58% of the match, and Moxley was on offense for 42% of the match, and he had a 26% reversal rate. I mean, this is insane. If you scroll through this whole thing at sescoops.com, the stuff that this guy says, spread out over the course of 17 minutes, there were a total of 83 offensive maneuvers. That averages out at 4.8, a match pace well above average. The tide changed 35 times as Moxley and Pac jostled for dominance. That averages out at a 2 tide changes per minute. Now we have graphs, the flow of offense and time periods. Like there's, I don't even know, like the minutes, who's on offense. We got charts going on. We got a time in control graph. Pac was in control for 4 minutes and 27 seconds. Moxley was in control for a minute 54, 10 minutes and 54 of the match. We're neutral. The fact that this match was such a back-and-forth affair is a testament to Moxley's determination and ingenuity in managing an injury that would have rendered most competitors doomed before the bell even rung. We have another flow of offense chart with offense value. Like, what is this?
Bro, what about the last line? Read the last line on this whole thing.
Even with one functioning eye, Moxley is too sharp an opponent to miss an opportunity that presents itself.
So, in other words, bro, he really took the spike to the eye.
And like I said, there's like 4 or 5 other ones of this on here. Like, this bro, is insane to me.
It is a thing that I was the most concerned with off the bat. The length of the match was 17 minutes and 15 seconds, bro. This I love the end, bro. Even with one functioning eye. Who wrote this? Who is this guy?
Craig Leisk. But you know what? You know what's one thing that actually sticks out to me when you look at, you brought this up with Al Snow and stuff, psychology of the match. This is a 17-minute match. The point of a wrestling match is to win. Moxley had, Pac had one pin attempt in 17 minutes, which means he tried to win the match only once.
Wow.
That's the stat I'm looking at. Not 16 reversals and 4 grapples and 33 strikes. You can clearly see psychology in the match right there. One time he tried to pin Moxley.
What's a grapple?
A lockup, I'm guessing. Collar and elbow. I don't know. That's my guess.
This is incredible.
That's what they call them on the video game.
Bro, think about the time this freaking dude's taken out of his life to do this.
There's flow charts, graphs, flow of offense. I don't know what all these squiggles are. Like, I don't even know how to read this thing. It looks like when you're adjusting, like, sound waves, you know, to try to change a pitch. Pac went for a black arrow, perhaps the most difficult aerial move in wrestling, after struggling to pull off a 450 splash and the noticeably difficult winds on board the Jericho Cruise. He should have put the wind conditions as a factor of which moves he's going to do.
Oh, definitely.
Going back to the well, going back to the well with the brutalizer would have been a safer option rather than throwing all caution to the literal wind. We didn't really get into the why in the hell is this guy doing this and try to really figure out why you would sit there in time, how long John Moxley was on offense compared to how long Pac was on offense and how many reversals they did. Maybe that goes back to the exact same thing you said about Meltzer earlier in the show.
Yeah, I want to Kevin Cole's Pizza Places. I love that handle on Twitch. He asked about Marriage Story. Marriage Story was I really liked that movie. And Laura Dern, who won Best Supporting Actress, was unfreaking believable in that movie. So I thought that was a very good movie. It made me a fan of Adam Driver. Are you an Adam Driver fan because of the Star Wars movies, Jeff?
It's the only thing I've seen him in, so I don't have any other thing to base it on.
He was excellent in this movie. Yeah, Jeff, listen, I've said this many times. Bro, we may be trying to rationalize people that there's no ration to. There's no ration to this guy doing this. None. Bro, I can understand. There's a guy in baseball that everybody knows, Bill James. And Bill James is like, bro, he has crunched every freaking number, every category, every pitch, every ball, every strike. He is like the world-renowned statistician in baseball. That's where Brian Kenny gets all his shit from, Bill James. And bro, as much as a baseball fan as I am, and baseball's real, bro. So what Bill James is breaking down are real statistics. even that is way, way, way too much for me, bro.
Broadcaster with 200 bits on the Raw and SmackDown review with Stevie Richards and Ben Hameen. You guys are talking about a couple different things in this clip. Milking storylines leading up to WrestleMania and the follow-up to Lana and Liv.
I swear to God, bro, I'm getting the feeling the last couple of weeks. I swear to God, I'm getting the feeling like, okay, bro, WrestleMania is 6 weeks away. Everything's got to be stretched. We got to stretch it out to the next week and the next week. Bro, this is the second week. Orton didn't say anything. Second week in a row, Charlotte didn't give an answer. It's like, holy shit, bro, they are just milking things to make it to WrestleMania. Like, why would you want to watch this shit? That's all it is, Stevie.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing about this thing of not saying anything and then trying to build the anticipation, I guess. We don't really live in that day and age. We haven't for a very long time. For example, the Super Bowl, which is the most anticipated sporting event of the year. After about a week or so of these talking heads and news and interviews, it's like, just play the damn game already. 15, 20 minute halftime show, get to the second half already. Now we're 6 weeks out.
Yep.
They can't gauge it the way the real world gauges it.
That's a great point, Stevie. That's a great point. But Ben, you're not going to tell me.
I won't.
That we were not saved by the direction they took the Lashley, Lana, Rusev, Liv storyline this week. You're not going to sit there and tell me that that didn't save this show.
Well, I mean, I was captivated, blown away once again by the brilliant performance of Lana. Especially, I was on the edge of my chair, bated breath. I was like, is her wrist really hurt in the beginning of this match? You know, when she was feigning a wrist injury, apparently she had me fooled. And then, you know, the spot is usually bring your opponent in and then grab them and pull them onto the ropes to choke them. I mean, that's what I would do as a heel. But I thought her version of it, of try and pull her in, but then push her away with the bad wrist, was different and ingenious and something I hadn't seen before. And then tackle her sloppily and go right to a hold. I think that's brilliant heat. I learned a lot in this match. I took notes, and I think these two girls are going to tear it down. 60-minute Broadway, first ever women's lesbian Broadway at WrestleMania.
Holy shit. Stevie, all the time put into this wedding and Liv and we're lesbians and all the time put into this, bro. We've led to a wrestling match and then a third party getting involved to get Liv out of the story and into another angle.
There's an amazing pattern with the egos of people in this business. There's the Daniel Bryan. There's the Lana stuff. There's other characters. Lana was over as the Drago wife character to Rusev's Drago. I mean, when everybody talks about the tank at WrestleMania,
Yeah. That's
the most over. She managed to recreate something different with Rusev and Lashley. As much of a rib as it was, the wedding angle or the love triangle was interesting, had nothing to do with wrestling. No matches, hardly any matches. But these people, I really do believe when she first did what she did from the Russian thing, she wanted to be a wrestler. I want to wrestle. I want to be part of – am I wrong? The Daniel Bryan thing, and much more over as the GM than he is right now without taking one bump. There's this pattern of ego. We've all had it, right, Ben?
Yeah.
Where I want to get in the ring. I want to prove myself. Not realizing, my God, I could just stand here and just talk on bumper segments and make the same amount of money, if not more.
Yeah, a few things you guys talked about there, but I want to talk about like the milking towards the WrestleMania. I mean, what you essentially you pointed out that Randy Orton hasn't explained something for the 2 weeks. Charlotte doing the same thing for 2 weeks. It's like you're watching a rerun.
Yeah,
like you're watching the same show 2 weeks in a row. They got pay-per-views before WrestleMania. I don't. you know, in the Lana and Liv thing, it was like they threw out that lesbian thing at the wedding with zero follow-up at all. They've already had two matches. We don't know what the relationship was. Doesn't look like they're ever going to cover it. It's over. You know, now she's in a thing with Ruby Riott. She doesn't even look like the girl in the bathtub. She still looks like she's in the Riott squad when she's in the ring. What happened to the girl in the bathtub? You know, why is she happy to see Ruby Riott, even though her entire promos in front of the mirror were about getting away from the people that tried to make her who she wasn't? I mean, none of this stuff makes sense. But the milking, that's always the excuse. We've heard Triple H say it. It's hard to write a three-hour show. It's hard to write a three-hour show. Not only are they milking three-hour shows, now they're milking 2 months of the three-hour shows. And it's just, I don't know how you can write television that way.
Well, they're doing this across the board, bro. Like, you know, I swear to God, bro, when you look at the – there's so much cutting and pasting going on. It's unbelievable. Like, they used Ruby Riott to get Liv out of the angle with Lana. They used Morrison to get Miz out of the angle with The Fiend. I mean, bro, watch both shows. It's cookie cutter. They keep doing the same thing over and over and over. Bro, now what they're trying to do is, since there is zero creativity, all they're trying to do is like maintain angles. Well, the only problem with that, bro, is it's 6 weeks between the last pay-per-view and WrestleMania. So when you're maintaining shit for 6 weeks, that means that 6 weeks, nothing went on. Nothing happened. Nothing is, everybody's running in place, bro. That's exactly what the shows feel like.
All right, and on the Triple Threat podcast with the franchise, Shane Douglas, they are talking about a congressman this week that called out the State of the Union address as fake as pro wrestling.
So this could really backfire just by something as slight as saying professional wrestling's fake. Well, guess what? You know, you could have said The Simpsons was fake. You know what I mean? He could have used any other analogy, and well, I think that really bit him in the butt.
You know what it tells me? It tells me he's a mark, right?
Yeah, true.
And because, you know, that was obviously forefront in his mind when he popped in. I'll guarantee you that he's probably watching Monday Night Raw and NXT and whatever other shows next up on the thing. If not now, he certainly was at one point. He's probably part of that big mass of 50 million audience I'm talking about from 25 years ago. But again, you know, for whether you were a fan or not, and some, you know, just it just shows you the pomposity of these people, right? That I'm just going to make a comment that I think, you know, the people in my bubble will chuckle at and piss off a hell of a lot of other people. You know, if you're a politician, man, I can think of some smarter things to be doing with your time. But, you know, the bigger part of this is, to me, I'll go back to whenever I was teaching at Beaver back in the 1990s. That was whenever I told you, you know, about the kids begging me to ask about who they were voting for, who I was voting for. I assigned the State of the Union address when Bill Clinton was president. Now, he and I, as you guys know, were on opposite ends of the political divide. But he was the president of the United States. And the State of the Union address is a pretty important speech that's made every year by every president. So I felt it pretty important that my students watch that to hear what the president said, to see what they agreed with, what they disagreed with. I wanted three paragraphs, what they felt about the speech, what they agreed with, and what they disagreed with. And they could say whatever they wanted as long as it came from that speech. I wasn't telling them, hey, go destroy the president's speech or go rah-rah the president's speech. But listen to the president's speech because it's the State of the Union address for the entire nation. And for an elected representative who gets paid to do that job, to get up and walk out and then make that kind of boneheaded statement, if I was living in his district, I'd be asking, why the hell did you walk out? What are we paying you for? You know, you're not there. This is not your place for a political statement. You can say whatever you want to the bank of cameras after the speech is over. But you, Tim Ryan, along with the other 534 people in Congress, are paid to sit there and listen to that speech.
Yeah. And you walked out, and that was it. Yeah. And he only made the comment because people saw him walk out. That was his response. So yeah.
I wonder if he'll send that portion of money back in his check.
What's interesting to me with that clip, Vince, is Shane's discussing how it was a stupid thing to say as a congressman based on what the speech was. But if you look at the rest of the wrestling world, anytime somebody not in wrestling calls wrestling fake, they just freaking go insane online. And that happened this week.
That word fake, it's like, oh, okay, bro, you know what we're saying. Yeah, that's what pisses me off. Guys, you know what we're saying. Like, does anybody think there's no freaking injuries in wrestling? Does anybody think there's no physical contact in wrestling? You know exactly what we're saying. So do we have to sit here and say, okay, bro, wrestling is predetermined? Does that make you feel better? We say fake, bro, because it's one freaking syllable. It's easier to say. But yeah, bro, you tell a wrestler that wrestling's fake, like, forget about it. Like, oh my God, you get the freaking wrath. Like, okay, guys, like, we don't know people get hurt. We don't know there's physical contact. When we're saying wrestling is fake, what we're saying is the fight is not real. You're not having a real fight. But it just, I think what's worse than that is, you know, a politician commenting on fake wrestling. Bro, politicians are the fakest people in the world. Politicians are people that, you know, tell the people what they want to hear. They'll say anything and do anything to get elected. And then once they get elected based on their promises, well, all of a sudden now we're not going to deliver on our promises because now we're in office and we don't need to. So, I mean, my God, bro, of all people to call, you know, wrestling fake, you know, the politicians should be the last people to label it that.
And we wrap up the week every Friday with Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco. And in this clip, we're discussing a tweet put out by Rebby Hardy insinuating that Matt Hardy's been pitching some ideas to Vince McMahon and he's just not listening. And she put over Pelosi, Vince McMahon, and she put on the paper Matt Hardy's ideas. You know, giving the impression that Matt has been feeding him all these ideas and we know how brilliant he is and Vince McMahon doesn't care. That's
another thing that we said he wouldn't get that and he wouldn't understand that thing. We said that when he got signed.
Brody, let's talk hypothetically here. Do you think Matt Hardy being married to Rebby. Do you think when she does stuff like that, do you think Matt gives her the whole, honey, what are you doing? Honey, that is not helping me. Or do you think he's scared to death of her?
He's got to be scared to death of her.
I wouldn't. Yeah,
you
I wouldn't
see how strong she is? She doesn't like, you know, are you kidding?
I would not. Yeah, I would let her do her own thing. Yeah. I would, yeah, very nice.
She's Puerto Rican. They got tempers.
What do you think what they're doing with Matt? Because he's been on TV a few times. Well, right, but like, okay, let's look at where he's been booked. Eric Rowan for the last 8, 9, 10 weeks has beat a jobber every single week, but 1 week it was Matt Hardy. So it was jobber, 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 Matt Hardy, jobber, 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 jobber. So Matt Hardy filled the role of a jobber one of those weeks. He just comes out and he loses. Like, are they really burying this guy on the way out, or do you think they're doing some type of this because is he's one of a Matt Hardy idea to like kind of fool people, and he's going to come back and recreate his
because he's teasing his future online. So if they're doing that, they're just going to try to diminish his value as much as possible, knowing that he's going to leave and go somewhere else. Yeah, I mean it's a corporation that's in a ratings war. Unfortunately, Matt Hardy looks like he's collateral damage in that right now because he looks like he's probably going to be going to AEW. If you're in a wrestling war, well, what do you do? Honestly, you know, it's not from a promotional standpoint. It may be shitty for the fans of Matt Hardy, but that's what Vince McMahon needs to do in his mind. It's not that like he hadn't done it before. Every promoter's done that. If a guy's leaving, they try to bury him. That's the reality. That's what happens. You know, unfortunately, that's one of the things in this business that just been done for years.
And Disco was pretty adamant, you know, that, that they are legit burying this guy on the way out, you know, with AEW as competition. I mean, is there, you've seen it, Vince, you've been there when they do things like this to people. What, does the character of the person never come into play? Because nobody has ever said a bad thing about Matt Hardy.
As far as what?
Choosing whether to bury a guy in their way out or not. I mean, if they're doing it to a guy that was a complete a-hole and refused to do everything that they asked. And
bro, listen, I've said this for years. It's this simple. Bro, unless you're making Vince McMahon money, he doesn't give a shit about you. And even if he does give a shit about you, he's not going to give a shit about you when you're not making him money anymore. That's the bottom line, bro, period. If you're making him money, he gives a shit about you. If you're not, he doesn't. It's that simple. It's that cut and dry. Yes, he loves Brock Lesnar because Brock Lesnar is one of the few that are making him money. If you're not, if he doesn't look at you as a draw or somebody that's bringing money into the company, bro, he don't give a shit about you. It's that simple, bro. I mean, and that goes across the board.
You just have to wonder, though, how he does not realize that if he did listen to Matt Hardy would be making him money and probably selling a ton of merchandise, and people would be talking about his segments. Because, and they'd be getting
in his mind, nobody is smarter than him. In his mind, nobody's as creative as him. You know, in his mind, you know, nobody gets it more than he does. That's what he believes, bro. He honestly and truly believes that. You know, Matt Hardy is not going to come up with something that's better than what I could come up with.
And guys, all these shows and many more, Goldilocks, Vito, we mentioned audio and video. You guys get access to both of those. You have up to 30 days to download and keep the video. You can stream it off the Realm Network site. I mentioned the private RSS feed. You can listen to all these shows in their entirety on the go. It is less than $1 a week with zero long-term commitment, guys. Chump change. You can try it and drop out after a month if you don't like it. It's very inexpensive. Just go to russosbrand.com right at the top. Subscribe to the Realm Network.
Bro, this no DQ is going on with this Judy Garland movie like God knows what over here, bro. He's going on. He's on droning on and on and on and on about this freaking movie over here, bro.
Big fan.
Also, Jeff, let's not forget there's shows on Patreon, guys. And we're going to add a new show March 1st, one to Patreon, one to the Realm Network. I'll let you know what those shows are going to be as we get closer, but check that out too. Patreon.com/RussoTWC. Jeff, let me know what else you're doing.
You can check me out on Twitch, guys. I do some late night gaming, twitch.tv/JeffLane22. And I also have a Patreon where I review Raw, SmackDown, do some video game stuff, and an episodic discussion of the TV show Lost, my favorite show of all time, at patreon.com/JeffLane22.
Yeah, guys, and check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/VinceRussoLive. Guys, sign up today, and tomorrow you will get Lions, Tigers, Bears, and Disco in its full form, guys. Hopefully, we will see you tomorrow over at Realm. Just go to russosbrand.com. Thanks for joining us, everybody, and have a great day.